Emmy Award-winning television news veteran Russell Ruffin says the primary benefit of having a good relationship with the media is that if law enforcement has a good relationship with the media, they generally have a good relationship with the public, because that's how the public gets its information. Russell, who has worked for NBC News, Fox News, and network affiliates for more than 30 years, began offering media relations training to law enforcement after he covered the Columbine High School massacre. He says lessons learned there can help agencies improve their media relations, and in his classes he takes that message to law enforcement. Russell Ruffin's law enforcement media training covers a variety of topics, including controlling the flow of information, taking control of news interviews, turning negative press into positive, and becoming more proactive with the media. Law Enforcement Technology recently spoke with Ruffin to gather suggestions for improving law enforcement media relations. The following is excerpts from our interview with him.
I covered Columbine, and I saw that the media worked together really well with law enforcement, and I kind of liked, how that worked out, and I thought that might be a good way to start it, using, Columbine as an example of how you can work with the media successfully. I saw that the public information officer had already had a plan in advance. They had created their own crisis news media plan before Columbine. So when Columbine actually happened, they just put that into play, and it seemed to work. And one of the ways that it did work is all the other PIOs agreed that if there's a crisis in one area, no matter how many agencies are responding, they'll just have one voice, one spokesperson for the event. And so I saw that, that came together there. We didn't have 15 PIOs saying 15 different things. You had one person, and that person did such a good job that I thought, well, this is, if we could use some of these examples here, it could really help other people too.
In your experience as a TV news veteran, what were some of the roadblocks that you often encountered with police departments in getting the information you needed?
I think they didn't understand the role of the reporter. The biggest roadblock I always had is they always thought that I was out to get them, and that was never the case. I was always just out trying to get the information. But I would just talk to the officers or the police, and I'd say, look, this is really what I'm trying to do, and this is what I'm trying to accomplish. And if we can work together on it, it'll benefit both of us. And that always worked, because I always had really good relationships with all of the police organizations. And, one example, I was in Memphis, when Elvis Presley died, and there was a plot to steal his body, and I actually called police and alerted them to it, and to head it off, and they actually let me go with them undercover when they made the arrest. So it was like a situation where I trusted them. I said, "Well, I'm giving up the story of a lifetime just so nobody gets hurt." And then on the other hand, they reciprocated and they paid me back by saying, "Okay, since you did this for us, we're going to give you an exclusive. You can go with us when we make the arrest." Mm. And that's something that really worked out. And that's when I found out, that was at a very young age. I found out that you really can work with the media. I mean, the media and the police can really work together effectively.
Now, you mentioned that police often think that the reporter is kind of out to get them. Is there anything you attribute this thought process to?
Yeah, I think sometimes there are some inexperienced reporters who don't understand the relationship between the media and law enforcement, and I think sometimes inexperienced reporters sort of screw it up for everyone else, and that's one of the things. The other thing is just there's always been that adversarial relationship between the law enforcement and the media, and I think it's just simply because I think law enforcement when they see a Rodney King situation and they see all the stations running it over and over and over again, they view that as a negative, and a lot of reporters, they don't view that as a negative. So a lot of times a reporter will show up to do a story, and the police don't trust that reporter for that very reason, and sometimes the reporter just doesn't understand why.
What would you tell an agency about the benefits of establishing a relationship like this?
Well, the benefits of having a good relationship with the media is If you have a good relationship with the media, you generally have a good relationship with the general public, because that's how the public gets its information, is through the news media. And at the same time, law enforcement can use the media for the Amber Alert, for Crime Watch, Crime Stoppers, crime prevention programs. There are a number of positive things, proactive things that police could do and use the media to illustrate what they do. In other words, when the police do something good, they should go to the media and say, hey, look, we did this. Give us some coverage on this. And if you have good relations with the media will always, will almost always respond to the law enforcement for news coverage. I don't ever remember turning law enforcement down for pitching a story to me. I mean, I always liked it when the law enforcement would pitch a story to me, because I always liked doing stories involving law enforcement, and I think the media does too, because you know, they're helping, they're doing the homework for the media. When law enforcement comes up with a story, it's almost always going to be positive, because law enforcement knows everything about that event, and news media has to rely on law enforcement for all the details. So that's always a very positive thing if law enforcement can be proactive and come up with positive news stories about themselves.
Now, you mentioned, you're the second person to mention keywords to avoid and keywords to use. Can you tell me a little bit about some of the phrases or words that you should be avoiding or actually using, and why?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. For example, if excuse me, if a crisis is going on, you never want to say to the media in a crisis situation, I'm not going to be giving you information about this. Because when you use the word not, or you say you're not going to do something, that just throws up red flags, and the public just has all these questions in their minds. So a better way of saying that would be, we will be giving you that information at a more appropriate time. Or we will be making that information to you shortly. Or we will be making that information available as soon as we have it for you. Then that sounds more positive, and it sounds like you're on the side of the general public rather than being adversarial. For another example, excuse me, I've covered a number of school shootings, and sometimes at a school shooting, they'll say, parents, do not come to the scene. You're going to create more problems, and if you come to the scene, you will be arrested. Well, mm-hmm. right off the bat, you know, it's almost as if you're scolding the public, and they're scared to death. But if you use phrases like, tell the public, parents, we want you to, parents, you can assist us by avoiding this area. Parents, you can assist us by not using the telephones to call inside the school. That way, it's sort of, you're sort of, the public or the audience, the parents, they feel like they are doing something. Okay. They're not helpless. They can do, that's their part they can do. And it has more of a positive effect when you use positive terms rather than negative. Like so many times people say, no comment. But you don't want everyone to say no comment. You want to say things like, I will have some information on that when it becomes available. Now, that sounds so much better than just saying no comment. So, and that's just a lot of times, I think a lot of police officers are just used to saying, mm-hmm. you know, telling the media, I don't have that for you. I'm not going to get that for you, or you don't need that right now. But now the law enforcement has come to realize that, you know, they have to appeal to the general public to make sure the public is on their side when a crisis develops. And they want to have the public's confidence, and they can have the public's confidence if they use terms and present themselves in a proactive way and say, parents, you can help us. You can assist us by doing this. And so many times, because the public, they want to help, and they will help if they're asked to.
Mm-hmm. When a major event occurs, how can agencies control the flow of information in order to ensure that the reporters' needs are being met as well as the needs of the investigation?
One of the things that I see, if it's a big breaking news story, and it's say, a school shooting or a campus shooting, is to have the public information officers or available so that when there is some information to update, that you'll have it available. You'll have, in other words, it's not unusual to have a briefing every half hour, or not every half hour, but say it's not unusual for law enforcement to have a news briefing every hour on the hour, and just to update them, just to quell, just to quash rumors in case some bad information goes out. I know a lot of times when we've had a school shooting situation, a rumor will go rampant about there's another shooter inside the building still at large. Well, the police immediately hold another briefing, and they quash that rumor and say, no, there's no indication of anything like that. And by maintaining that constant, having that constant channel open with the media, you can absolutely control the flow of information. Because what I found as a reporter is if reporters can't get the information from law enforcement, they're going to go around behind law enforcement and get it anywhere they can, from unreliable sources, from sometimes the town drunk, or anybody right. that will talk to them, they'll get that information. So, but if the law enforcement will have a regular briefing with the media, or just have a way to contact the media for updated information, it always works so much better, and they can control, not only can they control the flow of information, they're actually ensuring the accuracy of information, because many times the media sometimes reports misinformation when they don't have anybody else to report to give them information. So
right.
Many times I see how law enforcement can prevent that and can, you know, keep that flow of information going simply by maintaining that line of communications between law enforcement and the news media.
Now, who should be presenting information when you're having these press conferences? Should it always be the PIO?
It varies. We always encourage police to have a public information officer when there's that is it's usually more effective if it is a public information officer. It's sometimes it's more effective if it is the highest ranking officer, like the police chief or the sheriff. However, you know, the story can get diverted and sidetracked, and reporters can ask questions of the highest-ranking person that they couldn't ask the public information officer. So sometimes having the chief or the sheriff on camera actually convolutes the story, or just sometimes it makes it more difficult, because if you're the sheriff and a police officer and a reporter asks you, what are you going to charge this person with once you make the arrest? Well, as the police chief or the sheriff, you'd probably know in your mind what you want to do. But if you're the public information officer, you can only report as much information as you have been given to give the media. So, a public information officer can say, I don't have any information on that. And that's the end of it. But when it's a police chief or a sheriff, the media can just ask all kinds of off-the-wall questions, and many times the police chief or the sheriff will answer them, and then the story may take a different direction. Mm-hmm. But you can usually keep the story on track if you use a public information officer.
Hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Are there other things they can do to kind of take the reins and take control of the press event?
Yeah. I like it when the law enforcement comes out before the news conference and they lay out the ground rules. They say, okay, we're gonna have a briefing. We only have about 10 minutes for this briefing, and I'll take questions, but please raise your hand and identify yourself and let me point to you and acknowledge you. And right off the bat, that keeps the news conference from becoming a circus right there. It makes it more orderly. And it also puts that law enforcement in control of the news conference. If the police just come out and they hold a news conference and they say, well, I don't have an opening statement, I'll just take whatever questions you have, that's giving control of the news conference to the news media. But if law enforcement comes out and they just set a few ground rules, it demonstrates to the news media that, you know, we're in control, that law enforcement is in control. And particularly if the news conference is carried live on television, it demonstrates to the general public that the public looks at this and they look and they come to the realization that the law enforcement is in charge of this news conference, not the reporters. And the other thing that makes it look like reporters are in charge, when the news conference is over and you start walking out, the reporters are still shouting questions at you. That gives the impression to the public that, hey, law enforcement didn't answer all the questions. They must be hiding something. So they're trying to end the news conference by, you know, walking out. And that's the worst thing you can do is walk out when people still have questions. And one way to avoid that is to say something like, I have time for just one more question, and then take that question. And when the question is over, you end it by reemphasizing the main point of the news conference. Just reiterate your opening statement. And then if anybody has any other questions, you can say, if anybody has any other questions, you know how to reach me, you can email me, or you know how to leave me a message. And then if there's time, if you see it, deem it appropriate, you can actually say, we'll have another briefing on this tomorrow at 10 o'clock. Or you can say, if we have any new developments, we'll be notifying you, and we'll have another briefing. And that not only does that put you in control of this news conference, but it puts you in control of the next. Okay. And the reporters will sort of sense that as well. And that way, if you're walking out the door and people are still shouting questions at you, you can just reiterate what you just said. You can say something to the effect that we'll have another briefing when we have new information to report. Or if you have another news conference scheduled, you can just turn to them and say, we'll have another briefing at 9 o'clock, and we'll answer your questions at that time. That way you get the last word.
When an event occurs, what I've seen a number of times happen is, say there's an officer involved shooting, the police gives no comment. Meanwhile, all these other groups are commenting on what happened. How soon after an event like that should the police be holding a press conference and getting their side of the story told?
I would say almost immediately, because when there's an officer involved shooting, the story is going to take whatever the direction is of the first person that talks about it, or the most vocal person that talks about it. So if some neighborhood group holds the first briefing and they start talking negative things, then what's the media going to do? They're going to ask the police to say, well, the neighborhood group says this. The neighborhood group says you were too brutal. Well, what do you think? But on the other hand, if the police hold a news conference, and they don't have to really say anything. All they have to do is say it, you know, at 11:52 this morning, an officer-involved shooting took place at 1st in Maine. We are now actively investigating that. When we have more information, we'll make that available. And even though you said absolutely nothing, that's something that can be quoted. It's something that they can run on the air. It's always a problem when advocacy groups start holding saying negative things about law enforcement, because the media is going to report it. I mean, they do have a responsibility to report, you know, what the public's response is to a news event. So, but the earlier, if the police can get out there early and make a statement, mm-hmm. then maybe the story will take a different direction.
To learn more about Russell Ruffin's law enforcement media training, visit his website at www.policemediatraining.com.